Good morning. It is time to get up with the Super Bowl. 4 days and counting. And why one of these legendary quarterbacks is at a decided disadvantage. We will explain. Then, we need a hero. Which of these stars does our crew think will be the one player who actually decides the biggest game of the year? Plus, a lot of talk this week about the Patriot way. Well, we've got a Patriot legend today to set the record straight once and for all. All that and more as we get up with you on a Wednesday, starting right now from our studios at the Seaport. Greeny here and delighted you are there as we count it down to the Super Bowl. We are ready to go, and this crew is ready to go, and we're talking football. And if the meeting this morning was any indication, we're going to be lit today. Dominique is fired up. Graziano's got the insight. Representing the Patriot way is Rob Ninkovich and Ryan Clark, who played in two of these in his career. We are wrapped up and ready to go. And Graziano, I'm starting with you because there's a lot of news that we need to get to as we head towards this big game. First off, what is the latest with the Chiefs and their players on the reserve COVID list?
Yeah, no news is good news there, Greeny. No new positive tests or any new information on the COVID list yesterday with the Chiefs, which means those two players, Daniel Kilgore and DeMarcus Robinson, as long as they continue to test negative, will be able to rejoin the team this weekend and play in the game. We're getting to a critical point here. If somebody tests positive or gets identified as a close contact tomorrow, they won't be eligible to play in the game. So hopefully the no news, good news continues. Sammy Watkins, Chiefs wide receiver, hasn't played in the postseason yet. Got a calf injury. There's some optimism he will be ready to go on Sunday, but today's practice will begin to tell the tale. Remember, today is the first real practice of the week in terms of a game week, so we'll have an injury report at the end of the day, be able to tell what Sammy Watkins was able to do, how he's moving around, and the likelihood of him being there Sunday, but he believes he's got a chance to go. And you know, there's an injury to Patrick Mahomes. It didn't seem to matter in the AFC Championship game. He played with turf toe. He said yesterday that he's feeling a lot better than he was and that the 2 weeks in between the Conference Championship game and the Super Bowl should help him in terms of rest. If he was limited at all in terms of how he moved around the last game, that should be better this time around. It hasn't bothered him in practice or limited his reps out there, so I can't imagine it's going to be a significant problem on Sunday. Seems like, for the most part, other than those two Chiefs tackles we've talked about, the teams are healthy.
Which are critical injuries, particularly the one to Eric Fisher. So those are the news and notes. Now let's get down to the business. Ryan Clark, we were talking this morning, and the Chiefs in Vegas remain about a field goal favorite. But as you were going through the rosters, what did you find and what does it mean?
Listen, when I look at these rosters and you go top to bottom and you take the top 22 guys on each team, there are probably five Kansas City Chiefs that are playing in this game, obviously with the tackles out, that you'd pick. So say we were at recess, Greeny. You remember recess. I'm sure you had this in Chicago, and you go to recess. Now, this part you were not a part of, Greeny. When everybody lined up so you could pick the touch football teams, you go, you know, give me Patrick. Okay, give me Tyron. All right, give me Chris. And if we were doing that and we lined up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs, we'd pick more Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you go Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes on offense. Those guys would get picked. Maybe Tyron, obviously Tyron Matthew, Chris Jones defensively. But I feel like the rest of the dudes would be Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You look at the offensive line, you think Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously the linebacking core, the secondary. When you go pick person for person, roster for roster, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are better. Now, is it going to be that Patrick Mahomes is just so good he can overcome that? Or are the Kansas City Chiefs just so top-heavy that they can be better with less? But when you look at these teams, we really have to start looking at this game and giving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers more of a chance to win. Forget what you saw in Week 12. The roster in Tampa Bay is better, and they have the GOAT. So when you look at this game and you sit down with your popcorn, with your beer, with your soda, remember, the Tampa Bay Bucs are probably the better team.
Well, and so does that mean to you, Dominique Foxworth, they should be the favorite? Everything Ryan said makes sense. I don't think you disagree. Should the Buccaneers be the favorite in this game?
I don't disagree. They're the more talented team, but I'm not sure that they're the better team. And I know Ryan, with his Spencer James varsity jacket, understands the importance of team continuity. I think that continuity matters. And that team, that Chiefs team, though they may not have as much talent as the Buccaneers team, that team plays well together. And they understand each other. They trust each other. and they've been the most efficient offense that we've seen in this league over the past 3 years since Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy took over that offense. So that has value. That's not easy to measure necessarily, but it has value. And if you look at these two offenses over the past few weeks in the playoffs, there's only one offense that's been good or anywhere close to being dominant. The Bucs offense has not been that. No matter how much talent they have not been as efficient or effective as the Chiefs offense. And part of that is because of trust and continuity. That's something that you can't manufacture.
That's fair. And RC, let me float a different theory at you. And that is, at the end of the day, Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes and the other guys don't. And he just makes that much of a difference. Is that a reasonable way to look at it?
No, it's absolutely a reasonable way to look at it, but don't we have to start giving him credit for that? Don't we have to start talking about this game and seeing what Patrick Mahomes has to overcome? I mean, you know, you mentioned Spencer James, Dominique. Listen, Billy Baker is not going to be coaching the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Andy Reid. And so when you think about these teams, it's going to be, okay, what can Andy Reid do? What can Eric Bieniemy do to put Patrick Mahomes in the right position to win this game? He's going to be under duress. You saw early on last week when Dominique was talking about Shaq Barrett, the way he comes off the ball, not having Eric Fisher, obviously the other tackle being out, JPP playing at an all-pro, Pro Bowl level right now, and defensively with the linebacking core, what Todd Bowles could dial up. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is the underdog here, that Patrick Mahomes is the guy that has to overcome more. And if we remember, through three quarters last year in the Super Bowl, he wasn't Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't great. And so we're going to have to look at this game and start giving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers more credit for getting there, more of a chance to win the game. And if the Kansas City Chiefs do win, it's going to be on Patrick Mahomes. We won't walk away from this game and say, like Eli Manning, he threw one good pass and the NASCAR package was great. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes, more Patrick Mahomes. And if he doesn't show up, then they don't win.
I think that's right. So Graziano, is it reasonable to say, with the two legendary quarterbacks in this game, there's a lot more pressure on Mahomes to be great than there is on Brady to be great?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see it coming in, right? I mean, Brady was great in the first half of the NFC Championship game and picking up third downs. He threw three interceptions in the second half, and they still withstood it. It's amazing to think about. He's got more around him. We had to make picks for this game, and I think I'm going with the Buccaneers. I mean, like, it sounds bizarre to pick against Mahomes, but it's incredibly tough to win two in a row. It's been 16 years since anybody did it. Congrats to the Chiefs on getting this far, and of course they obviously could, and no one would be surprised, but Tampa Bay is loaded. They're playing as well as they have all year. The continuity element, yes, it matters, but does it still at this point, with Tampa Bay having come this far? At this point, if they lose, is a lack of continuity from the offseason going to really be the issue? I don't think so. I think, you know, they're sleeping in their own beds all week. There's a lot, I think, pointing toward Tampa Bay here.
Nick, give me a final thought.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. It makes sense. It reminds me somewhat of the Eagles versus the Patriots Super Bowl when it came down to the O-line versus the D-line. I was brave enough back then to pick the Eagles to win that game because of that line play. I'm not that brave right now because I've seen Patrick Mahomes. I watched the playoffs last year. I watched him last week. I don't got the heart to go out here and say that. And you're right. The O-line matters. And if they can't protect him, it's nothing he can do about it. He is not God. But he's damn close. And I'm not going to bet against him just yet. I don't know. You do it at your own risk, Graziano.
You know what they say? I think it's no stones, no scones. Is that how the expression? There's some breakfast-related risk-reward.
We still have a few more days to make our bets and for those kind of analogies. Meanwhile, let's go on to the next order of business. We got a lot of things going on today. Graziano was busy yesterday. If you were monitoring his Twitter feed, as I was, then you would have seen this exchange between Dan Graziano and Tad Prescott, who was Dak's brother. Tad Prescott tweeted, "Hey, I heard Dan Graziano say on Get Up that Dak could have taken a Goff or Wentz-like contract last year. Those two both were offered four-year extensions. Dak was being offered five." Well, Dan Graziano responded. He wrote back, "Right, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. It wasn't presented as one. Those deals were done after year three with two left. My comment was in response to someone else's comment about money specifically. We understand the issue is about contract length. Appreciate you watching." To which Tad responded, "You guys are the only show on TV who gets it right. LOL." So let me first off congratulate Dan Graziano, for being the first person in history to conduct a civilized conversation on Twitter. Okay, that was a reasonable and civilized conversation on that medium. That doesn't happen particularly often. Meanwhile, just for anyone who doesn't understand fully exactly what he was trying to make clear, what is it that this is not about money, that it is about years? What does that mean, Graziano?
Yeah, I think the talk yesterday, somebody said something about, you know, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff money. And I think, you know, what Dak Prescott was being offered last year was similar to that level of money in terms of average annual salary. But he wanted a four-year contract. The Cowboys wanted to give him 5 years. 5 years allows you extra time to spread the salary cap hit of the signing bonus out. And so the Cowboys want to do that to manage their cap. Dak wants to hit free agency that much sooner. Doesn't want to give the team 5 years worth of control over his income in a time when we expect the salary cap to go up and guys being able to cash in again. So that's been the crux of the issue. My understanding is that it still is. How they bridge that gap, I'm not entirely sure, but that is the one that they have to bridge. And I think that's what Dak's brother wanted to make clear, even though that really wasn't what we were, it wasn't what we were saying.
Right. But let me bring in then and then Dak Prescott's representative and spokesperson, Dominique Foxworth, here to weigh in on this. Today's February 3rd, 2021. We were having this conversation, Dominique. It feels like sometime in the middle of 2018. How in the world are we still here and what's going to happen now?
Yeah, I have no idea why we're still here, but every sign that we've gotten from Dak Prescott is he's not one that wants to ruffle feathers or cause any drama. It seems like the other people around him are more willing to do that. So I suspect that at some point he's going to sign a contract because it appears to me that he likes being in Dallas. He wants to stay in Dallas. But what makes no sense is how Jerry Jones and the Cowboys haven't learned their lesson from last year or from the year before. It only gets worse. The longer you wait, it only gets worse. And the worst case scenario is if they have to franchise him this year, it's going to be a big number on the cap, a big percentage of the cap, because people believe the cap is going to go down, and then he is going to be a true unrestricted free agent. And then you're really going to have to back up the Brinks truck for him or see him walk away. So it doesn't make sense to me why they're holding on to this 5 year over 4 year, because you're going to end up with no years if you keep pushing it.
You know, it's interesting, RC, and you were a player who came into the league as an undrafted free agent, so I think you understand the mentality. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were drafted that year. Those teams did everything they could to believe in them. They, even when there wasn't obvious evidence that they were the best quarterbacks in the NFL, they got paid like they were the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And Dak wasn't, and on some level, they just haven't made the deal for whatever reason, and that might have something to do with it, and I think it has something to do with why he has the mentality he does.
No, absolutely. It's the reason Dak has the mentality that he has, and his brother Tad Prescott has that mentality. You know, when you love someone and you care about someone, and it always seems like that person is underappreciated or undervalued, you feel the need to defend him. And that's why he came at Graziano, because he was like, no, Graz, that's not right. And I'm tired of having to tell people that that's not right, that Dak is better than Jared Goff, that Dak has been better than Carson Wentz. Why isn't Dak getting this money? But the same reasons that you feel like you need to defend him, if you care about him, if you're Dominique Foxworth or if you're Tad Prescott, is the same reasons people won't give him money. It's the same things that you are fighting for the world to know about Dak Prescott are the same things that they're holding against him, that he was a fourth round pick, that they feel like he doesn't elevate the team, that Dak Prescott isn't one of those guys that can win a game by himself, that you have to build around him. And so when you're talking about his contract and you're talking about the length of the contract so we can spread the signing bonus money out, those are the reasons that you're given, instead of looking at the play, looking at his peers and saying, you know what? They deserve this, so does Dak Prescott.
And at the end of the day, he's going to win in all of this. It's just a question of how big. No player in the NFL has made more money over the last 5 years than Kirk Cousins. If this goes that similar path, I mean, Dak is obviously so much of a better player. He will make the most money in the NFL, whether it comes for Dallas or not. So he can sleep well at night. And judging from his commercials, I think he does. All right, on to the next order of business here. Let's get to the next matter, because this got a lot of attention, and we've got the right man to respond. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski said basically all the right things about Bill Belichick at Super Bowl Media Day the other day, but the same cannot be said of one of their former teammates, Danny Amendola. Monday, strong comments on the Patriot Way.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
Now, there are a lot of different ways to take that. If you were watching yesterday, you saw this. Jeff Saturday didn't take it particularly well. Here's what he said.
Danny Amendola is high. Put that up there, bro. Are you kidding me? I love Tom Brady. I think what he's done has been absolutely remarkable. Give the coach some credit, man. It is an and conversation, not an or. They were as successful as they were because they worked together. Danny Amendola, I don't know what got into him, but he is straight up high. I don't know if he's in California, Colorado. I'm not sure whether states is legal, but he's in one of them states right now. I'm just letting y'all know.
Okay, so that was Jeff yesterday. I have waited 15 minutes into the program to bring Rob Ninkovich in and to get your response. Rob, what do you think of what Danny Amendola had to say?
Well, I talked to Danny Amendola yesterday. And look, Danny lives by the seat of his pants. He lives a certain way. And look, Bill, the way Bill coaches is the Patriot way. And for 20 years, they had Tom Brady to embody that philosophy perfectly. And the way that Bill coaches his team to be putting the team first, not selfish, doing what's best for the team, putting the team's goals in front of your own personal goals, that was Tom Brady. And he was able to do that for 20 years. And I get, you know, players sometimes they start to lose the concepts of, look, well, we're the ones out here making the catches and the tackles and all the things that win you the football game. But the way Bill coaches the team is the Patriot way. Tom was a great, great Patriot for 20 years, and he was what everyone came into that building to see. This is how you do it. This is Tom Brady. I'm looking up to that guy. Oh, he's a Super Bowl champ. He's the MVP. That's the way I do it. That's the way I go to work. That's what I do in meetings. That's the notes that I take. And that's how Tom was able to be such a leader in that locker room. And Bill and Tom together, they created that.
Fair enough. So you said you spoke to Amendola yesterday. A lot of people perceived those comments as though he was taking a shot at Belichick. Did he mean it that way?
No, look, I don't think he was trying to take a shot at Bill, the coach. I think that there could be some issues there. When you're negotiating your own contracts with Bill and he looks at you and he says, well, you're kind of old and you're slow. I mean, sometimes that hurts you and it hits you a certain way. So I'm sure Danny was feeling a type of way. He was feeling a type of way in that interview. So he decided to, you know, shots fired, right? So at the end of the day, Danny Amendola has done so much for the Patriots organization in the playoffs. We all know what Bill has done for the Patriots. And that collective work together has made that run so magical, and I got two rings for it. So guess what? Thanks, Danny, for catching that ball in the Super Bowl to give us a two-point conversion twice. And Bill, thanks for all the time and effort, because the guy sleeps in the building three nights a week.
But Ryan Clark seems to have an issue. RC, go.
This is about relationships, right? You see Bill Belichick, you see Tom Brady. Which one of those dudes do you want to hang out with? Which one of those dudes do you think is more fun to be around the building with? Which one of those dudes do you think Danny Amendola has actually talked to since he left New England? It's Tom. Tom's the homie, right? Like, when you have a coach like Bill Belichick, a dude that can walk by you in the hall and not speak, a dude that I've been told by some dudes who are lower on the ring in New England that when I walk by him, I just put my head down. I didn't say nothing. I got to the meeting. You don't want to walk around a building that way. It only works because they win. But Tom Brady, he's personable. Tom Brady shows love. The other thing is this. My son left here 2 years ago, right? But I train young athletes, and I loved having him around because he was my guinea pig. Because for as well as I could communicate, as well as I could get things across, when I wanted things done, I'd say, hey, Jordan, come here. Show them how to do this. That's what Tom Brady was. Tom Brady is as much the Patriot way as Mel Gibson was the Patriot. You understand? Because when you come to New England, right, and Bill Belichick is telling you to do all of these things, right? He's telling you have to live this way. You have to live this militant football way. And then you look over and freaking Tom Brady is living that way. The GOAT, the dude who at that point, I don't know if he'd been to 5 Super Bowls, 6 Super Bowls, whatever it was, you're watching him live that way. How do you do something different? So, yes, Bill Belichick may have put the Patriot way on paper, but Tom Brady lived the Patriot way. And watching somebody live something and listening to somebody tell me do something is two different things. I know how to watch this dude and do what he does. I don't know what the hell you talking about, Bill. Tom Brady was the Patriot way, guys.
That's a great point. So, Seth Wickersham had a piece come out about Tom Brady, and one of the things he pointed out in there is that Bill Belichick was watching film of Mark Sanchez with a receiver open 60 yards downfield across his body, and Bill Belichick thought that he should be able to make that pass. Bill Belichick understands football, but he doesn't play football, and he's not in that locker room. And as much as he wants to think about the Patriot way or think about a culture, the culture is only worth as much as the players are willing to buy in. And it's impossible not to buy into a culture when you walk in and see a quarterback who's as successful and accomplished as Tom Brady doing all the little things, allowing Bill to coach him. So, yeah, maybe the Patriot way is something that was thought up in the mind of Bill Belichick, even though he doesn't really own it. But it doesn't, this success is not without Tom Brady. I think if you have to break it down that way, I think what Danny Amendola was saying is right. Tom Brady is kind of the Patriot way. Without him, you don't have any of this.
All right, there's so much more to be said about this, and we will. We are just getting started. As I told you, we are fired up today. Still to come, Tom Brady keeps getting better with age. Now that he's talking 45 and beyond, we've got some unique insight into what it takes to become the GOAT. You'll hear it next. Plus, we know Brady and Mahomes will put on a show, but which of these impact players will be the one who decides who lifts the Lombardi? We'll answer all your questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Dominique Foxworth, today is a remarkable anniversary. Today is the anniversary of the David Tyree catch, one of the most famous plays in Super Bowl history. What do you think?
Oh, man, it's one of the greatest plays of all time. We don't talk about it enough, and we're not even showing one of the most impressive parts. Eli was shaking people off back there like he was Cam Newton, and then threw that ball up, that miraculous catch. It is legendary. Every little kid should have to watch that play because it is that important to NFL history.
4 plays later, Eli threw a touchdown to Plexico Burris, and the Giants beat the Patriots. Coming up, Tom Brady has won more Super Bowls than most franchises. Why his winning ways are even more impressive than you think? That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, in our quest to try and put Tom Brady's accomplishment into perspective, how about this one? There are 5 modern era quarterbacks who were elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at the age of 43. That's how old Tom Brady is. Steve Young and Dan Marino both went into the Hall of Fame at the same age that Brady is as he starts the Super Bowl this weekend. Remember, there is a mandatory 5-year waiting period for players at the end of their careers. What Brady is doing at this age is, I have to stop using the word impossible. Here's his coach, Tom House.
There's no reason you can't do at age 45 what you did at age 25 if you follow a process that is conducive to prolonging your career. And I'm sure you've heard Tom Brady say he wants to play at least 45. I'll tell you what, his skills haven't diminished based on our testing and our research. He may play longer.
Again, that's Tom House, who works with Brady on his throwing. He was on Max's radio show earlier in the week. So I have a bunch of different ways to try to unpack this. Rob Ninkovich, let me start with you. You played with him for a number of years. You were in that locker room. You've seen it behind the curtain, if you will, things that the rest of us do not see. How is it that Tom Brady has been able to do what literally no player ever before has?
Toughness. Tom Brady is the toughest football player that I have ever seen and played with. The guy has fought through numerous injuries. You can go down a list, the things that he's able to fight through. And it's almost like in those movies, you know, you watch a football movie and there's the star player in a room and then there's three doctors around him and you look in there and they all look at you and close the door on you. That's what Tom Brady has done over the years. He is that tough. He's in the room, no matter what it takes, he is going to get himself ready to go. And he's able to push himself beyond certain limits that I can think back to a rib injury that I had, and I was dealing with a cartilage tear in my ribs. And Tom came up to me and he said, "Hey, babe, how we doing?" And I'm like, "Tom, I'm in pain." He's like, "I've dealt with that before. I've had rib injury. Go see my guy." So I go see Alex. Alex goes and manipulates my pain receptors in my ribs, gives me a little massage in between the rib cage there, helps me out. And when he was finished, he asked me, "Hey, Rob, how you feel?" I go, "Well, you're done massaging my ribs. I feel a lot better." And I played that week, but that's just a small example of Tom. He's trying to push everyone to where he is at. He is at a level to where he can push his body to a place that not many go. And he's playing at 43. He's playing in a Super Bowl, and it all goes back to that toughness and his ability to fight through pain. I mean, basically, you're going to play. If you play football, you're in pain. Tom can fight through pain.
And to be clear, Alex is Alex Guerrero, which is Brady's trainer and the man who sort of does the TB12 thing with him. But you were talking this morning in the meeting about all these injuries, a calf injury that he had. How about the thumb? What was the injury that he had with the thumb and all the stitches during the playoffs that year?
I mean, this is mind-boggling, too, because at a certain point in 2017, he tore the skin in between his thumb and his index finger, and he had to have stitches there. Well, think about New England. It's cold. It's 15 degrees here. You have that injury, and then you have it stitched up. And imagine stretching your hand out to throw a football. And he's able to do that. There's not many people that would put themselves through that torture of, okay, I have this injury. I'm not missing a beat. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to get with my center. We're going to go over, hey, don't snap it so hard because you might tear the stitches apart. So, but that's just Tom. And that's why Tom is the greatest of all time because he can have stitches in his hand and still throw the football down the field.
And you know what's remarkable is Ryan Clark, we were having this conversation this morning and we realized in our meeting, you were exactly that guy, right? I mean, that's exactly, anyone who knows your history knows, you could be describing Ryan Clark.
Yeah, listen, and I was also like kind of the fixer. You know, people understood that I was going to try to play through anything. I was going to do anything. So I had this team of doctors and therapists. You know, it wasn't necessarily TB12. It wasn't even RC25. But I would try to find any doctor, anybody I could get, one that would convince Mike Tomlin that I could play in Denver and not die. Like, I was like, "Coach, I might go to the hospital, but they say I'm not going to die because my spleen and my gallbladder are gone. And that's the organs that it affects. So if you let me play, we could beat Tim Tebow." Coach Tomlin called me stupid. He kicked me out the office. I didn't get to play, but I tried. And so all of the stuff about Tom Brady being tough, like, I get that. I understand that. I know that feeling. That's the undrafted free agent feeling. That's the sixth round draft pick feeling. You have to be that type of tough. But I think what's more impressive is, one, he plays quarterback, right? Because right now I'm 41, and it's a lot of stuff I cannot do that I used to do at 25. He plays quarterback, and so you don't have to be fast. You don't have to be quick. What Tom Brady has done is amazing. You know why it's amazing? Not only is he better than he was at 23, not only is the arm strength still as strong, not only is his body better than it looked when he went to the combine, he's actually even more handsome. Tom Brady has had a glow up of enormous proportions. Right, and the fact that he can still get out on the field and play the way he does, and you're watching him across from Drew Brees, who can't throw a football 20 yards, and Tom Brady is still playing no risk it, no biscuit with Tampa Bay, is amazing. The man has kept himself up, he's kept himself sharp, and that's why Tom Brady is truly the GOAT.
So, Dominique, here's my question for you. Is this the beginning of something new? Do we have, those of us who chronicle sports for a living, do we have to start reconsidering what constitutes old, or is Brady one of one?
I mean, it's modern science. Players are going to play longer and be a little better for longer. That's fine. But nobody's going to do what Tom Brady's doing. This is one of one. And first of all, Ryan Clark, I believe the Denver situation was complications of carrying a sickle cell trait, a trait that I also carry. So this is the most Wednesday, Culture Wednesday thing we've ever had, a sickle cell conversation. But I do think that Tom Brady is one of one. And the craziest thing is his coach, the quarterback coach guy that was on Max's show, said that he thinks that he can do what he was doing at 25, at 45. To be honest with you, I'd be disappointed if he was doing what he was doing at 25, at 45, because he is better now. All his stats are better now.
Absolutely.
He's carrying more weight now. Yeah. He's more athletic now. He's throwing the ball better now.
Yes.
So if 25-year-old Tom Brady shows up, I'm going to say, get out of here. I want 41-year-old Tom, the tip-top physical condition Tom, the one whose hairline keeps moving forward and his balls keep going deeper. That's
what the
Tom
hell?
Brady I want. Yeah. It's impressive, man. I need whatever the TB12 method is doing for that. I need it right here in these corners. These corners is getting way off the hashes, and I don't like it.
To finish it up quickly, Nico, he talked about playing to 45 and beyond. Do you see it? Do you see 3 years from now, will we be having this conversation? Will he still be playing?
Well, you can't land on a quarterback anymore without a penalty. So, I mean, definitely the game has changed. He's not getting hit like he used to. The game is protecting the quarterback position more than ever. So, I mean, especially after this season, he looks at the year, he's like, I feel great, made it to the Super Bowl, my legs feel good, my arm feels good, I feel great, I'm in Tampa, it's warm, let's go. I think he can definitely play beyond 45.
But
he definitely, he's got the mentality.
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question.
I don't know.
That's what's so crazy to me. Why?
To your point, Ryan, because he's the man, he has everything. He has all the money in the world. He has all the glory in the world. He has a family. He has unlimited options of things he could do after football if he wanted to. Maybe it's as simple as he's playing for the best reason there is. He likes it. He just likes playing. We always talk about the love of the game.
That too.
Right, Nick?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that you can't question anything about Tom Brady's love, because there's no other reason to keep showing up out there. It's the love of the game and also being a bit of a lunatic.
All right, we will do more of this as we go. Meantime, I haven't even gotten to the game of the night last night. Let's do it. The Nets and the Clippers. Possible preview of the NBA Finals. Let's go. Kawhi, Kyrie. This was a battle. Second quarter. Nets down 9. Watch Kyrie Irving. The body control. And the left hand, and he puts it up off the glass. He had 29 through 3. The Nets were down 2 going to the fourth. Good game. Tied at 97 is where we'll pick it up here. Landry Shamet. Lazy pass, stolen by Kawhi. He's going the other way. He's going to throw it down. Kawhi, a team high 33. Clippers back in front, under 6 to go. Nets down 3. Kyrie using the screen. Season high 39 points for Irving. Game tied at 102. Just over 4 to go. Nets now a 5-point lead. James Harden, where have we seen that before? The step back 3. He had a triple-double, his fourth since joining the Nets. Under 2 to go now. Nets up by 7. Kevin Durant, oh, you can't give him that space. KD had 28. Under a minute left now. Clippers down 7. Desperation time. Marcus Morris in the paint. Yes, plus the foul. A 3-point play. It's a 4-point game. Now Clippers inbounding. 26 seconds left. Paul George, tough shot in the corner. Knocks it into a 1-point game. So the Nets are up 1. Time winding down. Looking for an inbound play. Under their own basket. Where are you going? Oh, no one's guarding Jeff Green. All by himself. Yes, and the foul. And that's the difference. Nets are now 7-2 against winning teams this year. They take it 124-120 in the game of the night. We've got more good basketball coming your way tonight on ESPN. Two of the top teams in the East will square off with the Pacers taking on Giannis and the Bucks. Then you got Devin Booker and Chris Paul taking on Zion. The Suns and the Pelicans is the nightcap. Good night of hoops on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, what does Deshaun Watson need for a successful season in 2021? We will tell you exactly. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back on Get Up, and Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox. And certainly one player who would like to sort of wipe it clean and start all over at this point is Deshaun Watson. He's made that clear. Our Adam Schefter reporting last week that Watson has requested a trade from the Texans after he was unhappy with the process used by the team to hire their new general manager, Nick Cazario, and that seems to be just one of multiple issues that he has there. So let me start, Dan Graziano, my insider, with you and the very latest. What do we know at this point about Deshaun Watson, the relationship with Houston, and the future?
At this point, teams are calling. Houston is still saying, no, we don't want to trade him. We don't think we have to trade him. Of course, that's the stance you want to take. You don't want to, you know, it hurts your ability to get a good return if people think you need to do it. At this point, is Watson going to convince them he's not going to play, like he's willing to sit out games? And if he does that, then they start returning people's calls. Could it take a little while into the offseason before that gets going? Yes. Would Houston be worried about its market dwindling if that happened? No, I don't think so. There are teams that would throw their current quarterback overboard if they thought they had a chance to get Deshaun Watson. If the 49ers thought they could get him, then Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. If the Raiders thought they could get him, Derek Carr's gone. If the Panthers thought they can get him, see ya, Teddy Bridgewater. So I think Houston's going to have the ability to make this move if and when they decide they have to, even if that's not within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Meanwhile, the first part of that, which I've been thinking about all this time, Dominique, is, well, they don't have to do anything. They can call his bluff and see if he really is willing to sit out. But you made an interesting point this morning about how that isn't a good option either.
He's not a running back. We just came off a segment where we talked about the Patriot way is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was in the building embodying that. And that helps define a culture on a team. So what you're saying is, all right, we don't trade him. We'll make him come in. So that means best case scenario. This is the best case. He shows up unhappy and disgruntled and talking trash about the organization to the other players on the team. Even if he doesn't do that, just him being there and being in a bad mood is deleterious to the culture of your team. You can't win that way. And I understand how stupid it is to trade a 25-year-old superstar quarterback, but the mistake isn't trading him. The mistake was doing all the things that led you to a point where you have to trade him. So please, stop holding on some hope that you think that some coaching hire or some change or some decision, some conversation is going to convince him to come back and be your happy leader. You messed that opportunity up, and right now you need to move on from him as soon as you can because you can probably get more reward, especially if you do it before the draft.
Right, and look, that's the bottom line of it here. And you made it that point in our meeting this morning. It's a lose-lose. They lose either direction they go in that. And Ryan Clark, look, let's face it, but losing Deshaun Watson is devastating. No one will argue that. There's only been one player ever traded for three first-round picks in NFL history. That was Herschel Walker. The Cowboys used that trade to build a team that won three Super Bowls in 4 years. So this doesn't – they've got a new staff in there. They can go out and make this deal and try and rebuild the team all over again. That feels like their best option, RC.
First off, are we just going to ignore the fact that Dominique just said deleterious on TV? So we're just going to ignore that fact? Okay, that's fine. Listen, we can ignore it if y'all want to ignore it. Okay, I don't even know what the hell it means. Okay, but aside from that, listen, when you look at the situation with Deshaun Watson, you would think that other than Patrick Mahomes, this is the biggest trade piece or the biggest trade bait in the history of football or in this era of football that there would be. And so if you're the Houston Texans, you have to stop fighting against the fact that you want to keep him when he doesn't want to be there. And Dominique is exactly right. It's about the energy in the building. It's about what you bring each and every day into the locker room. It's also about what you bring to the field. When you watch Deshaun Watson play last year, he played for that organization. He played for his teammates. He played for the people around him because it wasn't just about him. It wasn't about his contract anymore. It wasn't about proving anything. All of those things were done. That changes now. When he says he doesn't want to be there, when he's not returning text messages, when there is no communication, he doesn't want to be a Houston Texan. So use him. Use him to start over. Use him to give David Culley, who won't be there when the team gets good, at least an opportunity to have a locker room that's his. And I don't think that Nick Caserio understands that. I don't feel like he understands that he won't be judged on a Deshaun Watson-less team. And so you make this move, you use Deshaun Watson to start building your team of the future, because let's be frank, even with him, this one stinks.
It's true. Look, they were 4-12. The quarterback just had, and this is not an overstatement, just had statistically one of the greatest seasons in the history of the National Football League, and they played that all the way to 4-12. So starting it all over again with everything they can get back, it is, of course, deleterious to trade away a player of that magnitude, but at this point, it feels like the best and only option they have. Back to the Super Bowl we go, and let's get picks from everybody on this. We talked so much about the quarterbacks in this game, but there are others who are going to decide who wins and loses. Rob Minkovich, who are you watching?
I got to go with Shaq and JPP. These two guys, as a pass rusher, we've all seen it in the past. If you can get to the quarterback, sack fumble changes the game, could be a game-altering moment, which you win the football game. You've seen it before in the Super Bowl. It's all about protecting that football. The pass rushers can get it done on backup tackles.
That's exactly right. They're both going up against backups. They had 5 sacks of Aaron Rodgers last week. Neek, who do you have your eye on?
Juan Thornhill. So he was a great rookie safety last year, tore his ACL before they went into the playoffs. And having him back makes this defense dynamic because he can man cover, he can play zone, he can blitz. And he's a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, but he offers different things to this team. It makes this defense so much better. We saw it last week when he was coming down playing man coverage against top receivers.
All right, so that's a safety. Let me go to my safety. Ryan Clark, who you got?
You know, I'm going with Tyrann Mathieu. Listen, this is one of the 7 LSU Tigers that are in the Super Bowl, and he is the most important one. He is the best one. He completely changed the dynamic of the Kansas City Chiefs defense. He completely changed the dynamic of their leadership, and we saw how important he was down the stretch and also the plays that he's made throughout this season, throughout this playoffs, and last year. Tyrann Mathieu has to have a big game in order for this team to win, turn the football over like Green Bay did, and give Patrick Mahomes more opportunity.
Well, I'm excited to see the tape that I know you put together because I texted you during the championship game. I texted RC and I said, Tyrann Mathieu is all over the field. Even someone like me can see that. Show everybody exactly what it is he's doing.
Well, listen, if you want to see his impact, I'm going to take you back to the divisional round against the Cleveland Browns. And so you can kind of see some of the things they were doing. They came out to run the football. This is down and around. This is a toss sweep, a toss crack sweep. He has 2 blockers in front of him. He's going to split them while keeping it contained and tackling one of the toughest backs in the NFL in Nick Chubb. This is an all-pro play. This is diagnosis. This is execution. This is closing speed. Now, they're going to play cover 2 here. Usually your middle runner is a middle backer. They use Tyrann Mathieu, so he is supposed to be going deep with the tight end, recognizes the dagger route or the dig from Jarvis Landry. Comes off with his eyes and gets filled, but now he's back on Baker Mayfield. He's rolling to the left. When Baker Mayfield comes back to the throw, the instincts, the quickness, he picks off the football. He changed this game two times. At the beginning of the game, the Cleveland Browns wanted to run the football. He was impactful in the run game. Then they went to the pass. As they started passing in the second half, he gets this interception, and that's what changed the play calling of Kevin Stefanski back to Nick Chubb in the run. He's not just a difference maker. He is a game changer, and he needs to change the game in order for the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
No, that tape is so good. And, you know, and Dominique, I mean, it's an overused expression that some people just have a knack for the ball, whatever it is. I sometimes don't like it when people say that because it sounds like you're oversimplifying it. But in this case, it just feels like it applies.
Nah, I'll break it down for you so you understand what that means. It means that he is smarter than the quarterbacks. It means that his brain is moving faster than the offense's brain is. It means that when the quarterback discovers what he wants to do with the ball, Tyron already figured it out, and he is there. When the offensive lineman discovers that there is a safety that needs to be blocked, Tyron is already past them. That's what it means when you say a guy has a knack for the ball. It means that their computational ability of their brain, their processing speed, is faster than the guys on the other side. And you saw that with that interception against Baker Mayfield. And from a leadership standpoint, he's an interesting guy. I did a piece on him before this season started. He's all about honesty and vulnerability with his players and his teammates. It's all about love and comfort. It's an unusual thing to hear from a defensive player or from a football player at all. But the rest of the team, every team that he's been on, buys into it so much that they voted him the team MVP after last season, after we saw what Patrick Mahomes did in the playoffs. They voted Tyrann Mathieu the MVP. And that's because he's great on the field, but it's also because he's great in the locker room.
Nico, I want to get some thoughts from you a little later, but I'm up against the end of the hour. We'll talk more about this. Again, Tyrann Mathieu, an extraordinary, important piece of that Kansas City defense going in this weekend. Coming up, the Chiefs are the defending champs. But should Tampa Tom actually be considered the favorite on Sunday? We will explain exactly why that might be the case. That's on the way as we continue Get Up This Morning. And once again, Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox. When it counts, trust Clorox.